Hello, my loves, and welcome to the Purposeful Lifestyle Development Podcast, where we discuss all things thought work and manifestation, but we use neuroscience and the study of the brain to do so. I'm your host, Tessa Spizak. I'm a board-certified practitioner, master life and health coach, and seasoned executive speaker. If you're ready to create your highest value lifestyle and turn your dream life into a reality, you're in the right place. Let's get right into today's episode. Hey, hey guys, hello and welcome in. How are we all feeling today? I am personally tending to, and honestly somewhat trying to ignore, a bit of a nasty headache due to this wild weather we've been having, changes and dips like 40 degrees in the day, but I'm all vitamined up, hydrated, and super ready to get into this conversation today. So as always, I want to say thank you so much for tuning in every single week and chatting with me about developing our lifestyle on purpose. And of course, if you're new, make sure that you hit subscribe so that you don't miss any of our chats. And as you know, especially for those who have been around, I've really been trying to discuss some of the topics that I've been hearing from people that I'm speaking with, whether that's in person, in coaching, what have you. And today, I really wanted to talk about some of the congruencies and overlap that you see in the title of this conversation, talking about abundance, momentum, recognizing the lie in your limiting belief, and again, how those, if we were to put them in a Venn diagram, there would be a lot of overlap. And as I mentioned in my last episode, my dear friend Mariel came up from Dallas to visit me this weekend. We spent about Thursday evening, really to Sunday morning, just going over all the life things. And as I always say, hindsight is definitely 2020. We had some full-on clear, like, I can see clearly now, you know, we definitely covered all of the what I've learned this year, all the way up to here's what I see for myself, here's what I want, here's how I think I'm gonna get it, and what I have figured out about everything in between. And I personally am a huge believer of the idea that you have absolutely no obligation to be the same person that you were earlier this week, yesterday, or even this morning. You're allowed to grow and learn and develop as much as you like and as much as you are able. And the things of your past in no way need to define you if you don't want them to. And it's so funny how when we look back at the last year or the last time period of our lives, especially when we are really focused on growth, whether that's spiritual growth, personal growth, just growing in connection to our own headspace and thoughts, doing all the personal development, things of that nature, there's so much knowledge that we gain along the way. And I just want to stop and give you a reminder of how cool that is for all of us. We are forever students of life, and that's really the fun part. You never get to stop learning or growing or becoming more wise and becoming more in tune with who you are. You get a clearer view of the contrast in your life between what you want for yourself and what you don't. And I'm still kind of on that kick that we discussed a few weeks back about overall just letting go of judgment in your life, not judging yourself for not knowing the things you didn't know before you had a chance to learn it, of course, but also not judging a situation as bad or as hard or as any kind of negative before you get the chance to even experience. And lately, I've been seeing that this concept is really driven home by the discussion of abundance. Now, this could be, and most likely is, tied to the fact that I am rereading The Abundance Project by Derek Riedel. Awesome book for anyone who is interested in a read that will make you feel like an absolute magnet. But there's this quote that I want to share, and it says, "Life is not holding anything back from us. We're holding ourselves back from life because we've been hypnotized into believing that we have to be more, feel more, believe more before we can ask, seek, knock, and act from our highest vision." So, let me explain my connection in these two topics. Until we recognize the abundant nature of our reality, it's really difficult to get momentum in doing the things that you want to do to become the person that you're meant to be, that higher self from the quote. And that's because action begets action, which begets momentum. So we need to start with some kind of inspired action. And if we don't have an abundant mindset, meaning we can't really understand or don't believe in the abundance that's available to us, then how are we supposed to get inspired to take any action, let alone have full on that serendipitous, just kind of the thought falls in your lap, you know you need to run with it, gut feeling, inspired action? And how are we supposed to trust the action that we take? And I've said it before, if you don't believe that something's available to you, it won't be available to you because of that belief. If you hold something as truth, then that little computer part of your brain will hold it as fact. And your reticular activating system, the scanner and essentially algorithm of what your brain allows you to see and pick up on, will only pick up on the things that prove that to be true. And I have a really good example of this from a person that I coached many, many moons ago. They know I tell this story, I have permission, because it's so helpful and it was really such an eye-opener for them. And I am glad I get the chance to share it. So it's pretty simple. I'm sure you can relate this to your life. It's that they were working with this company, and despite being really well qualified or even overqualified in their position, when there was a promotion, they just knew that it wasn't going to happen for them. Even though they deserved it, it was very well deserved, they knew that someone else was going to get picked. So we explored this conversation and I got a feel what was really going on. So we started to break it down. Somewhere along the line, there was an event that happened that solidified in their brain as fact that they were not going to be promoted to this company. So after, you know, kind of understanding that, we can ask, what would it take for anyone, for someone else to get promoted? And they explored with me, you know, how they would have to be in the know. They would have to be aware that that hiring and promoting was happening. They would need the chance to prove themselves by the managers, by getting a task that they know they could complete. Or they would have to give some kind of solution to a problem in a creative way to show that, you know, they're really up for the role. And this whole list of things that really made a lot of sense to me as to how someone would get promoted. So that brought us to exploring the conversation. If you don't believe that you ever will get promoted, can you ever do these things, or would you? Would you listen for the cues that a promotion is happening, and would your brain help you pick up on them? Would you know that this is going on and be willing and able to volunteer for the extra things? And would you feel confident enough in your answer and have that creative forethought to answer a problem in a way that no one else did? And now there are some companies that, let's be frank, just to add this little asterisk in here, that they have hiring issues, right? They have some favoritism issues. They have things like this, but let's exclude that thought because that's not what's going on here for this example. And it's just an outlier overall. So without that thought, we broke down how differently you would show up if you believed that what you want is possible for you or not. Even if this was an outlier company, the company did have poor hiring practices, maybe you would have had a harder time getting picked for the promotion, but not trying and not believing gives you a 0% chance. Working for what you want gives you at least some, even in those outlier type situations. And just for some conclusion on what happened, after we coached through some of the things that surrounded this whole thought structure, really broke it down and built back some work style confidence. Now, I have to say they didn't get the promotion that they wanted, but showing the extra confidence, working to find the solutions, et cetera, did leave them promoted to a different position within the company that had better hours and even slightly better pay than the one they wanted originally. And what we were able to do in that conversation was, of course, bring hindsight and clarity into the fact that this belief would have caused it to become true. Hello, self-fulfilling prophecy episode, right? Because it's our thoughts about ourselves and our reality that directs our actions. And then our actions impact the way those outside of us respond to us. And the way they respond to us then creates thoughts or beliefs about ourselves, which those thoughts impact our actions, and the cycle continues. But from everything I've seen, there's almost always some limiting belief that helped those actions, right? There's a limiting belief within those thoughts that really caused those actions to come to life. Because limiting beliefs are judgments that you have made about yourself that you hold to be true, even if it holds you back or limits or restricts you in some way. And we can't always see those super clearly at first, but that's where using hindsight, really going back and looking it over, can be really, really useful in understanding why and how we do the things we do and why we perceive things the way we do, and if there's a more helpful way to do either of those things. As in my example before, the limiting belief was that they could never be promoted, not within this company. And because of this belief, their creativity and workplace morale was really affected, making it even more true that they wouldn't be promoted. When they broke that belief, not only were they promoted, but they were promoted to an even better position. So for me, it has become really an important practice to get good at picking up when my brain sends me those little messages or gives me those little negative thoughts. If I'm thinking, oh, I could never do that, I could never afford that, I could never be that or do that, right? I always try to catch it as soon as that thought leaks into my brain, because that's my subconscious. My conscious thought knows better. So when it happens, I recognize that as, oop, I just spotted a limiting belief. I really need to break that down. If not now, soon, like immediately, maybe make a little note happening ASAP. Because especially if that's something that I want, I absolutely do not want to prophesy over myself that I can't have it, I'm not able to do it, it's without of my reach, and allow my brain to continue on carrying with that subconscious limiting belief. I want to break it down all the way. And to break it down, I really just do the steps to rewire that part of my brain, that little subconscious bit that believes it to be true. And I'm going to share those with you. Of course, these are my steps that always work for me and have worked with hundreds of people that I have personally worked with. You can always do more or add more, but I'm all about sustainability. So this is the nitty-gritty and the most important bits, but always adjust to you as needed. First, you have to figure out where that thought or belief came from. You might not always know exactly and might not be able to get the perfect answer, but trying to get a good idea of how and where those showed up for you in the first place can be a really good tool in breaking it down. Is this maybe a personal belief that you have created from experiences in your own life? Maybe it's something taught you that this is the way it is, and you've just maybe again subconsciously believed it ever since. This maybe could be a hereditary experience in those beliefs that were reinforced during your whole childhood and around your life growing up. Sometimes limiting beliefs can come from fear or excuses that, as we talk about, the brain gets really scared of change. So it creates excuses to stay away from that fear. Like we know, the brain's main point is to keep you alive. Your mind, it's what's doing the thinking. We're talking about the brain as that computer that's just running, and it can give you 1,000 excuses to help you not go into the unknown where it's experiencing that fear. So maybe it's something you've just created in your own head. This could stem from your social circles, the people around you maybe influencing your beliefs. Of course, this can come from society or religious beliefs that have always been around you, things that have been accepted. So getting an idea of where that comes from, and specifically if you can break down the instance, that'll really help take away some of the power in what caused that belief. Then, without judgment over yourself for believing that, do what you need to do to become more aware that it is not real. It's just a belief, and our belief is not always right. You can do that by challenging this. Challenge the belief. Give a million reasons as to why it's not true. Explore the thought from every single direction and question it. You can also go a step further. I definitely suggest this, is visualizing doing the exact opposite of what that belief says. For our example earlier, that would really visualizing doing the things that it would take to get that promotion. Or if you're starting a side hustle and you believe that, oh, no one would ever buy from me, or I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough for that. Get into the visualization of what if that wasn't true? What would it look like? What would that feel like? Because this literally helps rewire the neural networks in your brain. If you've only ever gone your whole life or the majority of your life and had the thought pattern that this is not for me, I cannot have this, this is without of my reach, you may find it much more challenging than you can realize that it is just listening to me now to get comfortable with that thought. So do not skip this step. Being able to see it and visualize it will really help you start to believe. Even if you're not fully at 100%, at least as much as you believe it could not be real or could not be possible or could be out of reach, get at least as comfortable believing that it could be true, could be real, could be within your reach. And this may be even include going down the rabbit hole of your own thoughts of what could happen if you continue to think and feel and believe in this way. Hint, this thought process usually ends with this limiting belief really bleeding over into other areas of your life and will probably give you a bigger push to change it. I always talk about having a why in what you're doing, the real why, the deep reason and why you want to do what you're doing. This is a really good time for this. Next. Now, this might sound very simple as I say it out loud, but it's definitely another one that doesn't feel always as easy in practice, is being able to pick a better feeling thought, a more helpful belief. And if you have a hard time, just go with a less painful thought. I've talked about the benefits of a neutral thought before. I learned it from a lady named Carl Lowenthal. She's really great out of the Coaches Academy. She's amazing and teaches a lot about the concept of a neutral thought. And her example, as she's someone who has struggled with a lot of body image issues, this was her example of a neutral thought. She says, "I can't go from hating my body and thinking it's gross to loving it and thinking it's perfect and super sexy, right? That's too far. But I can go from hating my body and thinking it's gross to being grateful that it's functioning and that I'm alive and that it's sticking with me even when I'm mean about it. And then when I get comfortable there and that becomes my true real thought, it's a lot easier to move into some of the more nicer things." So challenging the beliefs that you have now in any way that you can, whether it's maybe, oh, I can't do this, to I'm just not exactly sure now, or I'm too old, my time has passed, this just isn't for me now, to, well, I potentially could try, right? Challenging this in any way that you can. And lastly, most important, putting that into practice. Prove yourself wrong and prove your brain wrong. Do something that supports the new belief that you have. Whatever that limiting belief was, whether it's that maybe you could never start or do the new thing, when you work to challenge that belief and you choose a better and more helpful thought, like, I could try this new thing for a day or for 5 minutes, and then you actually do, on a real neural level, you are actually changing the way your brain is firing and wiring. And the more you do the thing, the more you change those previous connections in your brain to not only think the new thought, but to start believing that new thought, and then actually living it out and beginning the process of creating your new reality. It gets easier to do it again. Rinse, repeat in all areas, in all limiting beliefs. And as I said, when you change your thoughts, you change your actions, which changes your reality, which changes your life. I love you all so, so much, and I am thrilled to be on all of your journeys with you as you develop the life of your dreams. For a way to contact me and extra goodies for you, head to the show notes. I'm www.purposefullifestyledevelopment.com. You can email me directly. That's info@purposefullifestyledevelopment.com. If you've got questions, comments about the show, questions or comments about coaching, teaching packages or bundles, or anything in between, let me know. You can also follow me at Coach Tessa or Coach Tessa PLD for a couple happy bits on your timeline. But all right, my loves, that's where I'll leave us today. I want to thank you so much for joining in on this conversation with me. And each week, every Monday, we're going to be posting a new episode, going a little bit deeper into the conversation of what you can do to train your brain on purpose to really allow for the lifestyle that you want to live. Until next time, my loves, in the meantime, here's to your health and your happiness.